find the answers to questions you may or may not have asked yourself here at KaleidoScience, Conversations on Cognitive Science.
Welcome to today's Christmas special. Today is a very special episode because today you will hear two voices you normally don't hear, which is me, Imogen, and...
Hi, I'm Clara.
Zirk is going to have a lot of fun with this episode.
Well, to be fair, Zünke is not joining us today. So me, Elisa, and Sophia are also joining. And it took us an hour to just get our technical stuff figured out today. So it's wild. And we wanted to start 1 hour earlier and are not starting now. I mean, at least we're making it somehow, chaotically.
All right, so maybe I should reiterate what we're doing today. So Clara and I are going to interview Elisa and Sophie in this Christmas special. And yeah, let's start with the get-to-know game that you guys usually play with the other guests. So the first question for both of you. As a kid, I always wanted to be...
Do you want to start, Sophie, or should I start? I don't mind.
I think I answered that question in the special in summer, actually.
We answered all of it, but we are redoing it.
Okay, as a kid, I wanted to be a scientist, kind of. So, like, I don't fully remember. So first I wanted to be a vet, but then I realized that you also have to, like, operate and put down animals. And I really hated that idea. And then I always loved to figure things out and learn new things. And then I realized that you can become a scientist. And like I wanted to be a marine biologist and watch the turtles and help that the turtles survive. I'm not a marine biologist. Plot twist, I'm a neuroscientist. But close enough, I would say.
I hope I answered the same as I did last year, because I don't remember what I answered last time. But as a kid, I wanted to be an archaeologist for Egyptian history, because I was so fascinated by Egyptian culture, pharaohs, pyramids, etc. I just wanted to research that. I mean, I went into a total different direction in the end, but... Yeah.
I don't think you answered that, because either I also don't remember, but I'm pretty sure I've never heard that before.
Yeah, possibly. I think I answered something different, but...
Yeah, you answered that you wanted to be a dietitian or something like that.
Yeah, that was later. That was later. But when I was younger, like when I was in primary school, I wanted to be...
But I think only the dietitian made it into the episode. So.
Yeah, possibly. I want to do both at some point.
Do you want to continue with the second question, Clara?
I would love to, but to be honest, I don't know which one is the second one, because I forgot everything at this point.
All right, I have it open, so I will just do the welcome game. If I was an emoji, I would be?
Currently, I would be the melting one. Because I'm so overwhelmed most of the time at the moment, and I just feel the emoji way too much. And I think it's also the one I use most often at the moment, so the melting one.
I would be the millennial heart emoji.
Aww.
I'm currently really enjoying that somehow. I find it very sweet.
Cute.
That's adorable. All right, so the next question is, my favorite thing to do on a day off is?
Currently it's knitting. I think that was also in the last episode. I currently knit a lot. I go to yoga when I have time. And I recently moved, so a lot of my day off activity also includes picking out furniture and furnishing this house. And that's kind of fun. So, yeah, I think those are the current main activities when I'm off.
Nice. If I think for me, it's at the moment baking Christmas cookies. I spent most Saturday and Sunday mornings in the kitchen baking stuff and then going for a walk and then just reading. So I really enjoy the winter time at the moment and just making myself cozy and as cozy as possible at home.
That sounds really nice. I'm kind of jealous about the cookies.
I have so many cookies at the moment. I have like, let's say 5 boxes.
Damn.
Like they're going to be Christmas gifts, so I'm not going to eat them all on my own.
Can we make send me a cup? I sent you one of these cups and you send me cookies.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh no, do I also need something to trade for a mug?
No, it's okay. We can figure something out.
All right, next question. Right now, I'm most fascinated by.
I think for me, it's how hard it is to get a grip on menstrual health research, because I'm currently writing my master thesis on that. And it's just whenever it's, I think it's what most scientists find at a certain point, but whenever I find one result, I'm at least finding 3 papers that claim the exact opposite. And it just sucks, because there's really no answer to questions I have at the moment. And the deeper I get, or the deeper I go, the more I realize it's just way too messy down there.
For me, I think it's currently FNIRS as a method. So FNIRS is functional neuroinfrared spectroscopy. Mm-hmm. Spectroscopy. Because I think it's a very interesting technique, because it's pretty good for like, so in the past it has been, okay, how do I make this a sensible explanation for people who don't know what I'm talking about? There are multiple neuroimaging methods. So we have different methods to try to understand brain activity, and all these methods have advantages and disadvantages because they're all done from the outside on healthy human beings. So you can't really look into their brain. So you kind of have to find a way around. And there are some ways measuring electric and magnetic signals from the neuronal activity. And then there are methods that measure blood, because when there's activity in a specific brain area, blood goes to said brain area. So said brain area can do something with the information it receives. And the blood-related ones are functional fMRI, functional magnetic resonance imaging, and functional neuroinfrared spectroscopy. And functional, I can't remember it, neuroinfrared spectroscopy measures the blood going to said brain areas using light. And that makes it very different from other methods. And there are a lot of advantages about FNIRS, including that it's very portable, and a lot of methods are very sensitive to movement, because that would highly impact your ability to actually measure something. And FNIRS works while people move. So it's very good for like social research and stuff like that, because people can actually behave semi-normally. I mean, they're still wearing the funky little cap. And if the movement becomes too frantic, we have artifacts. But compared to all other methods, it allows for the most movement right now. And I think that's really, really cool to use it in social research. So I really, like, I'm very interested in that currently. Sorry, I went on a whole side quest trying to explain this. But also in the field of neuroscience, this is not the most known method. It's one of the newer methods that has not gained that much attention. It's mainly used on babies, as far as I know, because it's hard to explain to little children why they need to hold still and why they can't turn their head and why they can't, like, touch their face and stuff. So it's, like, in the past, it has been used a lot on, like, small children and babies to research. And I think it's becoming more and more also used in adults and also more verified as a technique. Big side quest.
No, but I think it's super interesting that you explained that, because I think I only knew the name of the method, but I never learned how it works. So now I have a better understanding of what is behind that term.
Did I explain it in a way that actually makes it semi-understandable?
Yes.
Okay, nice.
Yes.
And the light is used because when hemoglobin carries oxygen, it has a different shape. And the light then is reflected differently. Isn't that cool? You basically shine light into the brain. And for the people who are like, who comes up with stuff like this, this is the exact same that's, for example, used in oxygen sensors in watches and stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you take off your fancy smartwatch, you need a fancy smartwatch for that. It's not going to work with your normal watch. And you see a little red light coming from that. That's what is used to measure, for example, blood oxygen levels.
I didn't know that. But my brain, like, I'm a super visual thinker. And when you said that you use light to measure brain activity, my mind just went on those old comics or those old cartoons where you have a person who has a lightning bulb in their head and then their eyes just shine light. I was just like, the whole time my brain was just like fun. But yeah, you explained very well, thanks.
All right, I think the next question is kind of really relevant to the situation now. I know it's time to call it a day when.
Last year, my answer was when it's 6 p.m. That has changed. Like, last year, I was still like, okay, when it's 6 p.m., then I just call it a day and just quit whatever I'm doing. And then day is over and work is over. Now it often gets until 8 or 9, just because I'm writing my master thesis. And I know it's time to call it a day when I try to write a sentence and the source I'm using for it doesn't make sense, and the sentence I'm trying to write doesn't make sense, and I don't even remember how to cite correctly. And then I usually know, well, I should just grab a book or go for a walk. Not all days. Other days, it's more when I start to get hungry in the evening, and then I'm too demotivated to start working again. But they're both days. So they're either days where I work that long that nothing makes sense anymore, or where I just have dinner and then decide no. Or go to sports. Actually, most evenings I do sports. And then that's usually the quit as well, because then I take a shower and then I usually wear my Totoro onesie and it's too cozy to keep working. And then I just decide to not work anymore.
So for me, because I work as a research assistant, I try to stick mainly to my 9-to-5. So there will be days when I'm in the lab longer, for example, because some participants couldn't be scheduled in a different manner. So yesterday, for example, I stayed past 6 because my participant also has work and things to do. So you kind of sometimes need to negotiate. But usually I try to mainly stick to my 9 to 5. And if, like, I feel like, for example, I can't concentrate very well in the afternoon anymore, I just try to switch to tasks that don't take that much brain power. Like, do some organizational things, organize, I don't know. Yeah, do some organizational things, do some paperwork things that also come with a lot of jobs. So, yeah, I mainly try to stick to that.
All right. So now for the next block, Clara and I prepared some questions that you don't know yet.
Exciting.
But before that, we thought it would be really nice to do like a little check-in. What has been your highlight of the week? And my voice is just breaking at this point. What has been the highlight of your week and the low light of your week?
Did you feel inspired by our holiday? Clara and I went on holiday this summer. I asked for the highlight and low light of the day.
I'm really sorry. I actually forgot that you did that. I was inspired by one of my seminars where we're doing this.
I did it all summer, and at some point you got so annoyed with me. I love that you are.
Maybe that's why I just pushed it aside.
Do you already have an idea, Elisa? I need to think about this for a second.
Me too. So my highlight of the week was on Monday evening when I met with a friend to do a jigsaw puzzle. And it's one of those where you have to solve riddles or puzzles afterwards. So it's kind of one of these escape jigsaw puzzles. And we just managed to get the jigsaw puzzle finished. And I think what made it a highlight for me was that also my flatmate's dog just at some point came to the room and just slept next to us. And we jumped from puzzling to cuddling the dog. Well, trying to stop the dog from eating puzzle pieces or eating cookies. That was just really nice.
Seems to be one hungry dog.
Yes. It's a hungry dog.
Not sure if we want swear words in that. I want Zoon to beep that out. Like... in like proper media.
Beep.
It's a beep. Hungry dog.
All right. And do you have a low light of the week? Or has the week really nice?
It hasn't been really nice. It was stressful, but there wasn't one particular downlight thing. Like there were smaller things I got annoyed by, or there were also more challenging parts, but it wasn't like one specific low light where it would be like, I don't know, someone took the last package of cookies and that I really wanted to have in the supermarket just before me, right in front of me. Like that didn't happen. So my week was okay-ish with all the ups and downs, but nothing particular.
Okay.
Does my week count since Monday or does my week count since last week, Thursday?
Whatever you want.
Yeah.
You have freedom.
Okay. I think my low light was that Monday was quite a stressful work day because something had to be finished. I was told about quite late. So it was quite hectic to get this finished. I think that was my low light because it was just very hectic. Everything got finished. Everything is fine. But Monday around lunchtime, I was like, this has been such a long day already. And my highlight was last weekend I visited a friend and we went to a very cute craft store in The Hague. And I talked with the lovely people who work there and like the store was very cute and there was a lot of cute stuff, and people were really cute. Like, I talked with this one person who is a seller there and possibly also responsible. And she said they basically opened a store because they are all crafters of multiple mediums. And they only have things in the store they would actually use, like somebody of them. So all of the things they had there were just really nice. And they were also very knowledgeable about the things that they had in their store. And I really appreciated like the conversations I had there, and also going with my friend, who's also somebody who crafts a lot. And I think that was just a very sweet afternoon.
Sounds really nice. And how about you, Imogen?
So my highlight was that last weekend, on Friday, I went to Karlsruhe to visit some friends that I know from school. And two of them, they participated or directed a production of Momo, which is like a really famous German children's book about a little girl whose superpower is to just like be there and listen to people and solve their conflicts by just listening to them. And then the city where she lives gets overtaken by gray men who smoke cigars and steal people's time. And then she basically saves the day by not doing a lot besides listening to people and listening in the right moment, getting the important information just by, yeah, being there, being present, being trustworthy. Yeah, and it was really cool, really cool play, and I was so proud of them for putting that together, because you could just see how much work they put into it. And yeah, it was really, really great. And my low light was that my endometriosis just flared up a lot during the weekend, and made everything a lot more exhausting than it needed to be. Yeah. And how about you, Clara?
I think my highlight of the week was I'm doing a seminar right now about dance and films, and we're directing short films. And we met up as a group, like after our seminar, and we just like really developed our concept. It is actually something that we're proud of. And it was just really nice because we were so creative in that moment, and just throwing ideas in the room, and everyone was just really excited. So I'd say that was my highlight. My low light?
Low light was setting up this call.
But to be honest, my actual low light was just looking for a flat in Brussels, because I'm doing my Erasmus there, and yeah, it's not really easy, to be honest. It's not that much fun. But yeah, also setting up this call was just a ride.
But we managed.
Yeah, I'm really curious how my how my audio is gonna sound like at the end. Mm-hmm. I really hope Zirka can work with it.
I mean, he's not here, so it's his problem. He canceled like an hour or two before, so he has to deal with it anyways.
All right. Shall we move on to the next block?
Yes.
Sure. Let's start with some more podcast specific questions. The first is, what is the best and the worst moment with a podcast so far?
I think the worst for me is just when I realized that I forgot so many deadlines. I just have to write emails and I get reminded, or like, I don't mind that much reminding other people, but when I get reminded, I always feel like, wonderful, we don't have to beep here. just because I used to be the person who overlooked most of the tasks, and at the moment I just can't keep track of it because there's so much happening in my life that I just forget all my private tasks, and then sometimes the podcasting tasks or duties just fall behind. And for me, it's just like, I think the worst part is just noticing, oh, I have like 10 to-dos on my list I really have to do before a meeting that starts in 15 minutes. Okay.
I would have thought your worst moment was when stole your phone.
So Imogen just mentioned an incident where at the Space Day last year, maybe some of you remember our Christmas special where we had episodes every second day in December. And on that day, which was a super stressful day, because we talked to so many people and there was just so much input and it was really going on my nerves, not because it was annoying, but just because there was so much pressure on me, or I felt so much pressure on me. And then in the evening, one of our lecturers accidentally took my phone and just put it in his pocket and walked away.
So just to explain this a little bit better, like there was like an end event where there was a big room with a lot of people in there. So it's not like he basically left one of the interviews with your phone. I think that would have been easy to oversee, but there was a big event. There were a lot of people moving around to the stage and back and sitting down and talking to each other. So people also left their backpacks and things lying on spaces and tables. And that's how I think some confusion happened.
Yeah, like he was talking, like he was in a group talking to people. The person was in a group talking to people. We were in another group right besides. And I had put my phone onto a table, like onto one of the desks. And I was really certain that I put it there, but when I turned around, it was just gone. And we tried to kind of send an alarm to the phone, which didn't work because it was not connected to the Wi-Fi and my mobile data was also off. So we just kept repeatedly sending this alarm every minute or so with my laptop. And at some point it started, like it was connected to some university Wi-Fi again. So it started beeping. And then it got handed back to the organization team. But at that point, I was just so stressed out and I just had a whole meltdown. And I think it was the first time I met Sophie's boyfriend. And he just met me crying on the floor, being so distressed. But people were really cute.
Yeah, so just for context, we basically split up. So Elisa and Sönke stayed searching the hall, which was emptying. And me and my boyfriend, we went to another part where a lot of people had gathered and a band started playing. And we basically asked if the band could like say like, hey, we're missing a phone. Maybe somebody accidentally like took it. And then at some point, like, I think Sönke texted me and was like, okay, we have it. It's fine. And then we returned. So.
I mean, I was certain the whole time that no one purposefully took it. Like, it was so clear that no one would take it on purpose, but it was just still so stressful in that moment.
Yeah. And what would you say has been the best moment with the podcast?
It's really hard. I feel like they're just sometimes conversations that I really enjoy and where I couldn't pinpoint a specific conversation I had. Sometimes it's just talking to a person where I have been kind of intimidated before talking to them, and then just realizing, hey, they are just another human being and they're just super nice in the end. Also just, I think I don't have a single moment that was my highlight. It's more like conversations with hosts, with guests, but also our team meetings, because they tend to get quite funny. And I really enjoy that. So it's not a single situation, it's more I think the overall project, and I'm just really happy that we are still doing it and are still working on it, even though it's sometimes stressful, but it's just a lot of fun as well.
Okay.
How about you, Sophie?
Yeah, I was just thinking, I also, like, because we've been doing this for like 1.5 years now, like, I find it hard to look at the whole time and pinpoint one highlight and one, like, low light specifically. So I also have a lot of conversations I really enjoy. And I also think it's very, like, cool and cute teamwork with, like, the old podcast team as well as with the new podcast team, which I really enjoy. And it's just a really nice and cute and fun atmosphere. And like, we brainstorm ideas and we also try to like be professional, but also we still have fun. So I think I really enjoy that. Yeah, and for the things that are more stressful, like, I think when I started, like, when we started the podcast, it was, I think, 1 month before handing in my master's thesis. Or, like, two, maybe. So I would say not necessarily an ideal time to start a big project. I remember that I had a little bit of a stressful time then. Yeah, and also as Elisa says, so sometimes life is stressful and I think that's how it goes. And because it's a hobby, sometimes it has to be put on the back burner. But then if it obviously impacts the other podcast members and stuff, I get also kind of stressed because I feel like it's my fault that we cannot do this thing now or that this thing has not been done. And that's sometimes annoying, but I guess this is also sometimes how life goes, unfortunately.
Let's just say we appreciate all the effort you put in, even though you have like quite a stressful life at the moment. I think we're all always amazed when we hear what is going on currently in your life during the team meetings. Like, it really does sound extremely stressful.
Yeah, that's basically how the past few years have been. Every time when I call Sophia, when we talk and she just talks about her life, and I'm just like, okay, that's a lot.
Yeah, but I think this also goes to show like how passionate we are about this, because even if it's stressful, and it has been stressful at multiple points, like, I think we still try to make time for the weekly meeting as much as we can. We still try to like do recordings and do our tasks and play the social media and try to keep track of things. And I think I would say most of the time it works well. Sometimes it's a little bit chaotic, but I guess that's everywhere. That's everything.
And I think we learn to handle the chaos quite well.
Yeah.
Like, also as a team, like, we communicate about when it's getting chaotic and when someone has limited capacities, and we try to support each other. So I think overall the whole team is doing really well on that point. Not perfect, but good.
I think it's also particularly rough currently because you, Sönke, and I are stressed out. Because in the past, it was more that one person is really stressed out for a while and the others can like buffer that out a little bit. And I think because 3 out of 5 people are quite stressed currently, I think that makes it sometimes a little bit harder to buffer it out.
And also because it's the 3 recording people, the 3 hosts.
Okay.
Yeah, and also...
No, I just I thought that maybe we should move on to the next question. Just because I don't know what to do about all this, but it's getting quite long. And we still have a few more questions for you. immigration, I'd also say we just skip the how the podcast came to be question, because
we had that before.
The thing is, we thought that it might be nice for the new listeners who haven't like listened to all the episodes, but it's kind of escalating at this point.
Let me try to do a short version. Elisa wanted to make a podcast. Elisa talked to Sönke. Sönke said, no. Elisa was like, let's do a podcast. Sönke came back to her 1 year later and went, didn't we want to do a podcast? And Elisa was like, what do you mean, we? But yeah. And then Elisa messaged a common friend of ours, Alina. And Alina was like, oh, Sophie also wanted to do a podcast. And then we met. And then we all just got involved somehow. And then we started having a podcast.
And just to mention, at the beginning, Sophie didn't know that she was about to join the project as a project member.
I was confused for a month about whether they wanted me to join or what my role was in this or why I was there. But I was happily tagging along, like looking at
your
things.
Do you know the meme where you have like a couple and then there's like a third person that wheeling and it's just a, like, this is us and our friend Steve.
Like, but we got Sophie in intentionally. It was just like we thought she doesn't want to join, and she thought she wasn't sure if she is expected to join. And we just like at some
if
point I was sure that she joined.
Join.
No, but at some point, like I was certain that you already joined, and then you said like, "Am I joining the podcast?" So yeah,
that sounds good.
Yeah.
And if you want to learn more about how this podcast came to be, you can listen to the last episode of the first season. Has it been a year already? Because there, the other three talk more extensively about how the podcast was birthed, created.
And we will also link it in the show notes so you can find it easily.
I'm so sorry for crashing, but I just need to be happy. Just for a moment, I got accepted for one flat in Brussels.
Yeah! Next question. What is your favorite episode from the season so far? So from the new season.
Oh.
Okay. One episode is a little bit difficult, but the pain special is quite dear to my heart, it's quite dear to my heart for several reasons. And the first reason being that I did some research on the topic of pain during my master's thesis. So it was one of the first big research topics I was involved in. Secondly, it was also the first time I hosted podcasts. So for that special, I was the hope, or not special, for that block, theme block, thematic block, that was the first time I also was like hosting this podcast. And thirdly, one of the people we interviewed, Maite van der Miesen, she was my supervisor for my master's thesis. And that was, I think that was very nice for me to talk to her about our research, or like shared about her research, which I was allowed to work with for a while. And I think that's why the whole pain topic block is quite dear to my heart, which obviously does not mean I didn't enjoy the other ones.
I think for me, it's also super, super hard to pick a favorite episode. Like, that feels like picking a favorite child and just telling the world, that's my favorite child. I also kind of like the others, but that one I like most.
And I think... Sorry.
Just go on.
I think that's also weird because we invite so many, like, special people, and we invite them for a reason, because they are specialized in something we think is interesting or relevant to talk about. And I think it also feels like we're picking favorites and guests a little bit. That's why I'm like a little bit hesitant to be like, I really like this episode, this one.
Not
so much.
I think just one moment I enjoyed a lot this episode, this season, was when we had the first guest on the podcast that doesn't have any connection to us as hosts or to Osnabrück. Because we, before or in the last season, we always had a person that somehow connected to University of Osnabrück or knows one of our hosts or has been recommended or just kind of is in the whole bubble, social bubble. And for me, like, I wouldn't say it's my favorite episode or my favorite experience, just as I mentioned before, I don't want to rank it, but one of the most exciting moments for me was to really go out and get new people as well, who just wanted to be guest after hearing or after being invited and without knowing anything about us or something like that. So it's not about the episode, but it's more about the experience we had.
Yeah, when you realize that people want to participate without the social obligation.
When you realize that people are actually interested in what you're doing.
And you're just like, fuck, what have I done?
I think we need to beep this again.
I think we also have discussed this. One of our guests after the episode said, oh, please let me know once it's out. I want to put this on my CV. And I think that was a moment for me which was very, like,
that's so cute.
Funky. Yeah, because if, like, I feel like, yeah, I don't know. So for me, it was pretty amazing that a researcher established in a field of science thinks that this is qualitatively high enough that they would want future, like, employers to see this. I think that was the thing that I found quite mind-blowing, that they were like, this is, like, obviously they did a very good job in what they do, but we try to do a good job. I think we're doing definitely a very decent job, if not a good job, but because we're just 5 people teaching themselves how to do social media currently, and doing media and doing science communication, none of us are, like, educated in science communication specifically, and we're learning all those skills, like cutting, like, podcasts, reels, pictures, making Instagram posts, writing, like, we're all learning this on the go to a big part. I think it was quite mind-blowing to me that people think this is qualitatively so high that I would want future employers to see this from me.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Cool.
Be real notification.
Yeah, can I put you in my be real?
Yes, let's do it. Okay. The Spotify Wrap just came out, so you definitely know the answer to this one. Which podcast are you listening to on the regular and why?
My most often listened to podcast was Ologies by Ellie Ward. I just really love the podcast because she's always inviting guests from all different ologies, so all different scientific fields. She sometimes makes up ologies to just get it in an episode, but it's just super, super fascinating because I just love listening to her because she's super energetic in the way she does the podcast, and also the guests are super interesting, and it's just so broad. Like, it's not specific to one field, but it's just all possible sciences, and I just really love listening to that podcast. So yeah, that was, I think I binge listened nearly all episodes of the last 2 years. There are a lot of episodes, so she has an episode each week, and I think the podcast has been going on for 4 or 5 years. So I'm halfway through, approximately.
Okay, how about you, Sophie?
Okay, so I listen to a lot of comedy podcasts, because often, so I work in science, so I do science all day, and then I come home and do some science podcast, and then I still listen to science podcasts, but it's not my main thing. And I also don't listen to a lot of news podcasts because I prefer to read news when I have capacities for that. So my main podcast is this Hazel Thomas Hörerlebnis. Hazel Brugger is a Swiss-American comedian who lives in Germany with her husband, and they together have a podcast where they upload, I think, weekly episodes where they chat about, sometimes about specific topics, sometimes just anything that comes to mind, I think. And I really just enjoy them joking around, and I think that's really nice. And the second one is also a comedy podcast. That's Buchinger's Tagebuch. That's an Austrian comedian. And he just he used to be quite popular on YouTube, but at this point he has switched his career mainly to podcasting and traveling around with his, what's that called? He's a cabaretist. He does a cabaret. And that one is Einschlafen in Wikipedia.
Of course.
Interesting.
So falling asleep with Wikipedia for the non-German.
So basically, for the non-German listeners. So basically, they look up Wikipedia articles, usually about quite niche topics. Like, I don't know if you know about the Emu War in Australia or the butter crisis in Norway, those types of things. If you don't know it and you want to have a good chuckle, I definitely recommend looking it up. Both are very odd scenarios. So I'm learning about one fun fact, and then I usually go to sleep, maybe two on a good day.
Okay. And at which speed do you guys listen to your podcasts?
1.6 to 1.7, depending on the speaker.
Really? Okay, Sophie?
Normal speed to 1.3, also dependent on the speaker.
It's so wild to me, because when we were writing down the questions, Imogen and I also talked about this, and I never thought about listening to podcasts in a faster speed. This never occurred to me. Yeah, I don't know.
Do you also not do this with YouTube videos?
No.
Or you can't watch YouTube videos on normal speed, they're always too slow.
I disagree. I really put lectures on 1.5 or 2.0.
No, lectures are double speed.
Mm. It depends on the person lecturing.
Definitely, yeah.
But for me, I also just do it with lectures and, for example, with WhatsApp memos. Because some people just, I know that they sometimes need a bit to come to the point, and I'm just like, okay, a bit faster. Mm-hmm. I love you, but...
I think for me, it's just, I want to listen to as many podcasts as I can, and I can't get all my podcasts into a day I want to listen to if I listen to them at normal speed. So I just have to do 1.5 to 1.7.
That's fair.
I usually run out of podcasts to listen to in the week. So.
Me too, but then I look for new podcasts, and then I discover a new show, and then I just binge listen to a new show.
I need some podcast recommendations, probably.
Just so wild to me, because for me it's really hard right now to listen to podcasts, because normally I listen, for example, to news podcasts in the morning, but right now I'm in a phase where I just listen to music and I can't concentrate on a podcast. So yeah, I'm fascinated by the fact that you guys are listening to so many podcasts.
I usually get through 5 to 7 episodes a day, between 20 to 1 minute to 1 hour. But
do you just have your headphones on all the time?
Like, when I'm working, I'm listening to music, but when I'm not working, I'm listening to podcasts usually. And when I'm not with friends. Like, of course, when I have a social day, then I don't listen to as many podcasts.
Really? You're not listening to podcasts?
Yeah, really. Not usually.
You're just making podcasts with them.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's why we started this whole thing.
Okay.
For me, it's not that many. But for me, like, I listen to a lot of, like, comedy podcasts when I clean and tidy and I do things I don't enjoy always, because then I feel like a comedy podcast is something that's like fun and lighthearted, and then right, for me it's easier to do like my chores basically.
Okay.
All right. So next question. Why is science communication important to you?
So I think there's a lot of misinformation out there. And there's a lot of misunderstanding about how science works. And I think by adding a science podcast and talking to people whose expertise that is and giving them a space to talk about their expertise, I think that's a very important thing. Because there's just so much bullshit out there. Not sure if we need to beep this, we can discuss this, but...
We'll beep.
No, I think there's just so much misinformation out there, and it's sometimes also from the perspective of me being a scientist and working in science, insanely frustrating. And also, again, there are a lot of misunderstandings, so... Science changes, concepts change. We get new information, so we adapt how we think about things. And often this is not communicated well also to the general public. And I also think there's not a lot of value in science if you cannot make it accessible. So I'm not sure if you can make everything accessible to everyone and if everything always needs to be accessible to everyone. But I also think if there are only three people in this world who understand what's actually happening, I'm not sure it's worth a lot, because, I think then that's just very sad, because there's this great information out there, but if only three people understand it and nobody communicates it to the broad public, nobody knows basically apart from said three experts in this field.
I think there's not much I can add. I mean, for me personally, I mostly listen to science podcasts. So of course, I also enjoy consuming them. So besides all the points Sophie mentioned, it's for me also just the appreciation myself when people do science communication that tries to communicate, well, to have experts communicating about their topic. And especially in this field, there. When we started, there were no other podcasts that did that for the whole mix, cognitive science on compasses. So I think for me, one of the main reasons why I think it's important to have a science podcast like this is just because it's so broad. And also we try to get the experts speaking about what they know best to eliminate misconceptions before they, or to kind of reduce misconceptions people might have.
All right. We've been recording for quite some time, so maybe we can lighten things up again with a quick lightning round. We will give you two options, and you have to choose one of them as quickly as possible. And you also don't need to elaborate on your choice. Some of these questions might be familiar to some of you who listen to the podcast Alles Gesagt. Because we got some inspiration from them. They have a whole lot of questions that they ask each guest in each episode. So
I actually have their card game.
Yeah.
The podcast. I have their card game. It's nice. Okay.
All right. Let's start with the first.
Do both answer each question, or is it
I'd say both of you.
Okay.
And do we answer at the same time so it's spontaneous, or do we like? Because then we just
do it spontaneous, please. I think that's
yelling.
Firstly, more fun, and secondly, more authentic.
So we're just interrupting each other now.
Okay, nice.
Okay, so let's start with the first question. Inside or outside?
Outside.
Inside.
Soy milk or oat milk?
Oat.
Oat milk.
Snooze or get up immediately?
Snooze.
Snooze.
I would love to not hit snooze, but it's winter.
Dark air. messy or condo?
Messy.
Messy.
Okay. Sweet or salty popcorn?
Sweet.
Mix? If I have to choose salty. But mix. Just mix it. Order on when you have a cinema where you can order both, just order for mixed. Best.
Okay. Döner or pizza?
Pizza.
Döner. Because pizza is usually not that good. I'm really picky.
Can you do it, Clara?
Okay. Just for context, for non-German people who are listening to the podcast, in Germany, we get told as children that either Santa Claus is coming or the Christkind is coming. And we try to translate it, and it's... It says infant baby Jesus.
Infant baby Jesus was coming.
Santa
for
Claus
all of us.
Or infant baby Jesus.
Infant baby.
Infant
Jesus.
Baby Jesus.
Yeah, it's. I don't know what happened there.
Cara, do you want to do the next or the last two questions?
Yes. Okay. Cinema or game night?
Game night.
We expected that when we were written down the question. Okay, plastic sealed organic vegetables or conventional vegetables without plastic?
Plastic without sealed plastic. Organic vegetables.
Okay, then we have a few more general questions for you guys. Which hobby are you most excited to be asked about?
Our podcast.
I just, like, I'm thinking right now, what are even my hobbies? Most of my hobbies are sports, cooking and baking and podcasting. And, like, meeting friends. And going on walks. And reading. And listening to music.
Okay, but which one are you most excited about?
Podcast.
Okay.
Just like, because I feel like that's the most special one. All the others are way too mainstream.
I'm currently very excited to be asked about knitting. I basically knitting is my current obsession.
It's not your current obsession. It has been your obsession for months at this point. But that's okay.
Yeah, but months.
At least a year.
Quite current. No, yeah, roughly a year. It should be a year about now, but it's only
been a year.
We started
sometime Christmas last year.
Yeah, and it's only been a year, but I did a deep dive this summer through like pattern. Different kinds of wool, different kinds of needles.
What's your favorite wool? Because I love mohair, but mohair is so expensive and just tricky to, like, because it's so thin, it just sucks knitting a whole piece of it. But I love mohair.
I think mohair is too hairy for my preference. Like,
it's soft.
It's very
soft.
But I bought a soft yarn this weekend, which is wool, and it has 10% cashmere. And
ooh,
that's the softest thing ever, and I don't want to knit socks from it, but a scarf. Because it's
but what's
quite
also really,
thin.
What is amazing for socks, which is even vegan, is bamboo wool. And it's super soft. And it's absorbing bamboo wool. It's super soft. It's absorbing sweat quite well, and it doesn't smell. And it's vegan.
I'm not having the best, I started knitting with some bamboo wool, but I also have wooden needles, and I was not having the best time with that combination. I think it might be the combination and not the singular items by themselves, but it was like a knitting kit. And since then, I haven't really spent a lot of time with bamboo wool again.
It's actually one of my favorite wools to knit with.
Maybe I need to ask you where to get this from, because the one I have also, wool consists of separate threads, and they are wound together in a way that make it one big thread, and mine just keeps...
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, and that makes it even worse, because it's already hard, it doesn't move well over the needles, and then it also splits up into all its little threads. Mm. And that's why it made me sad.
And just real quick, we didn't want to start all discussion about your hobbies with that.
But Elisa,
I'm not sure if our listeners would love to hear you guys talk about wool.
You can just cut that out.
No, I think it was a nice tangent, but maybe we should come back to the questions now. All right. If you were an animal, which animal would you be and why?
Do you really want to ask why?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but...
what is going to happen now?
We're going
to
explain.
No, but keep in mind that you also want to go to bed at some point today.
That's true.
I want to be a sea turtle because I love turtles and they look like they're flying around in the sea and they're just very cute.
I think I would be a lynx because I think they're super cool. They're fluffy. And they're basically European huge wild cats with brush ears.
Okay. What's your favorite travel destination?
Like where you've already been.
Oh, that's tricky. I think I would name my most recent one, which was Romania, just because it's close enough to Germany to not need to fly there. And it has really beautiful, it does have beautiful nature, although there's a lot of rubbish. You can see wild bears, brown bears, which is cool. And they're really beautiful forests over there. I wouldn't recommend going there in August because it's just 40 degrees each day. So I would not go in August again. But I think just general countries where you don't have to fly to just for your CO2 emission. So right now I would say Romania. Might change in 10 minutes, but...
I think the holiday or the travel that left the most lasting impression on my mind was going to Hawaii, which means you have to fly big CO2 emission, unfortunately. But I think the nature and everything, and it's so close to the equator, is just so different from anything I had ever experienced before or after. And everything, because it's almost tropical in a lot of parts, is just so green. I don't even know how else to put it. So that just left, I think, the most lasting impression to me. But also, traveling to Hawaii comes with a lot of problems, which I wasn't fully aware of when I did it a few years ago. So definitely inform yourself well if you plan on doing that.
Okay. Now, a bit of a wild card question. Because we were somehow concerned that we wouldn't have enough material for reels. What socks are you currently wearing?
And I want you guys to show them in the camera.
So, mine have donkeys.
Mine are just red and white striped and knitted. But... bamboo wool, just to come back to the wool.
I wore one of my best pairs of socks today. They have sheep.
My cute.
And the sheep are even fluffy.
Cute.
And the other one have flowers?
No clouds.
Flowers.
Ha.
Daisies.
I have thermal socks today with stars and stripes.
Cute.
Cute.
Okay. Next question. If money was not an issue, what would you like to try out?
I would love to do it like a spin wheel pottery in depth course.
I think if money wouldn't play any role at all, I would just go travel. Just traveling for months in a van. And yeah.
I think travel or some kind of very elaborate craft.
Or maybe pole dance.
Pole dance is really fun.
And it's so expensive.
That's true, but you should definitely try it.
I want to, if I have money, once I have money. Because I think when I would try it and it's fun, I don't want to skip. So it's something to do when I have the money.
Fair.
I really want to go, and I need to look up the term because I only know it in German. But I really want to go Gleitschirmfliegen. Because like everybody wants to go skydiving and I kind of get it, but I hate the sensation of falling. But where I grew up, there was a spot where a lot of people always went paragliding. So when there was nice weather out, you could see all the paragliders in the sky and it always looked so cool. And it's like the one type of flying that I can imagine myself doing.
How about you, Clara?
I think for me it would also be traveling. And I really would love to do like a cooking class. Last year I was in Italy with some friends and we were actually considering going to a cooking class there because it's just really interesting to me to see like how the food's traditionally made and to have it like really authentic, but it was way too expensive for us. So yeah.
Now we are transitioning to some more seasonal questions. Since this is a Christmas special, we can't get away from actually asking some Christmas related questions. And the first one is, what are your favorite Christmas traditions?
I think a nice thing about Christmas is that my family and also my extended family come together and we all see each other. And I think my grandma also really loves this because I don't think she gets to have all her children and grandchildren around a lot because people move, people are in different countries and different places, sometimes far away. And I think like it's nice that Christmas is an opportunity to see everybody and like catch up and knowing that often you don't see each other a lot during the year.
I think for me, it's really hard to answer the question because we used to have quite strict family traditions on Christmas, but that has changed some years ago. I just started to relearn appreciating the whole Christmas time because it used to be a really stressful time for me for the past 6, 7, 8 years. 8 years by now. But I think what I start to enjoy most again is just making cookies and making food gifts for friends and family and just this whole, I don't like buying gifts, but making gifts myself. And just rediscovering what I used to like about Christmas when I was a kid.
On the topic of baking Christmas cookies, what is the best Christmas cookie in your opinion?
Vanille Kipferl.
Okay. You had the answer loaded.
Zimtsterne.
Yeah, but Zimtsterne are so much work to do yourself, and the board ones just don't taste that good. And vanilla kipferl are easy enough to make, taste amazing, and it's basically just love. It's just amazing. Okay, we have to put... I can add my favorite recipe for vanilla kipferl because I have really strong opinions on that in the show notes. But yeah, vanilla kipferl, for sure. Because like my family tradition is to not only add one type of nut, but almonds and hazelnuts, which makes a perfect mixture. And I veganized the cookies, so they are without egg by now. And they are just... I love them. I could basically live on them if I would also enjoy eating fruits and vegetables during December.
But vegan Zimtsterne also aren't such a big of a hassle.
I made Zimtsterne once, and I hated the work. I just really hated it. But maybe I was also just too young and impatient. Could also be. I was like 14 or 15, and I just hated the work.
Yeah, okay.
I did them once, and they were just like bricks. They weren't good.
I actually discovered that I'm sensitive to some nuts because I ate too many Zimtsterne one year, and then my mouth just started itching. But that doesn't mean I'm going to stop eating them because they're way too delicious.
Maybe we should at this point just translate. Zimtsterne means cinnamon stars, and it's basically a nutty, star-shaped traditional cookie with icing on top. And it's like quite moist and just really rich also in flavor. And vanilla kipfer, I would translate to vanilla crescents maybe. Mm. And they're like crescent-shaped biscuits that you roll with your hands, and then you cover them in vanilla and icing sugar. And they are a bit more dry, but kind of when you bite them, they start to fall apart in your mouth when they're really well made.
Yeah. All right. Then we already have the last question, and no pressure. But
oh God.
Do you guys already have your Christmas gifts?
Yes.
No.
Like they're sitting in my cookie boxes on my desk.
Hmm.
And I got a book from my dad. And I got some liquor for my brother. And all others are just going to get self-made stuff. Food.
Sounds basically.
Good. I don't have my Christmas gifts yet because life has been chaotic and very frantic. So I have, I think, ideas and plans for everybody, but I haven't gotten all of the things yet.
We have to mention we have still 19 days at the day of recording until Christmas, so Sophie still has some time to get it managed.
Okay, then we're done with our questions. We also have some questions for you guys for Instagram, but you're going to do them later.
Nice. Do you want to answer our get to know game as well? I want to try to make it off the top of the hat because I don't have it open.
Clara Imogen, as a kid, I always wanted to be.
I wanted to be a lot of things. And before secondary school, I can't remember like one thing that I wanted to be. But in secondary school, I can remember three phases of jobs that I wanted to pursue later on. And the first one was editor, because I loved reading, but I didn't like writing. So I thought, if I become an editor, I can just read all day and work with books, but I don't have to write them myself. But yeah, at some point I noticed that maybe it's not the most interesting job to read like a whole bunch of random books, because I probably can't really choose what books to read. And so then I wanted to become a teacher, because I was already tutoring some kids at my school in my spare time. And yeah, I had really fun doing that. But then I also got a job tutoring like a group of children while they did their homeworks. And I realized that like a group of children overwhelms me quite quickly. So yeah, teacher wasn't really it for me. And then I wanted to become an actress. And I even went to tryouts at acting school. But then I did my my gap year, my voluntary gap year at a theater. And I realized how stressful the whole business is and that I probably would stop enjoying it as soon as I actually started working in it. And so I decided that I want to do theater more. Yeah, keep it as a hobby and not as a job. And now I'm actually not doing that much theater anymore, but I have other cool creative pursuits like this podcast or other creative hobbies. So yeah, I'm quite happy with where I landed.
How about you, Clara?
I was already like a few days ago when Imogen and I met up to do like all the questions. She also said that maybe we're going to do like the welcome questions with us. So
shh, that was spontaneous. No, we did not plan that.
So yeah, I was already like thinking about this question for a few days. I think I wanted to become a ballet dancer when I was little.
Hmm.
I'm not 100.
Did you dance ballet?
Yeah, I did. And I liked it quite a lot. But for some reason, I stopped. I don't know what happened there. But yeah, I think ballerina was it.
Okay. The second question is, if I was an emoji, I would be?
I think for me, it's like these three little stars, which I also sometimes put in the Instagram posts. Because it's just like this. And I love that. That just...
We're an audio podcast. Can you just explain what you just did?
It's like it's so hard to explain, but it's like it's sparkly and it's fun and a little random, but like with a nice touch. And I think that sums basically my personality. Just a little random, a little weird, but it's cute, I guess. Oh my god, I'm gonna hate myself when I hear this.
Happens.
But yeah, like these three little stars are just really nice, I think.
What is it for you, Imogen?
I was thinking if I could come up with a less cynical answer. But maybe not this week because I'm quite exhausted. But so my first thought was also the melting emoji. But since Elisa already said that, I'm not going to repeat that. The one that is like smiling, but not like full on laughing, just smiling with that one tear running down, like. Everything's fine.
I'm breaking okay. Apart.
Yeah, I also have a hoodie that I bought like 2 years ago when I was really like depressed about climate change and stuff. And it basically has the world is ending on one side and then on the other side. I'm so happy.
Wow.
Okay.
The hoodie is really cool because it glows in the dark.
to the podcast, to us. Like,
edit to the newsletter.
In the show notes.
Do you want to ask the next question, Sophie?
If I'm not mistaken, it should be my favorite thing to do on a day off is.
So I think for me, like if I only have a single day off, then having a game night or like a game day and maybe going outside for a walk or doing some crafting projects, something like that. But if I have more time, then probably driving around Germany, visiting my friends. Yeah.
I think for me right now is it just having like a lion and not like the pressure to get up and be somewhere.
Oh, you said lion. I understood lion. I thought like, do you mean a lion the animal? Do you mean a lion the chocolate bar?
I have a lion as a pet, of course.
It's been a long day.
That's okay. Yeah, and also like going to like a cute cafe with friends of mine. Also, I'm enjoying running right now quite a lot. I think I'm hitting my quarter life crisis.
You're enjoying what?
Running.
Running.
I understood. Rum. And now it's
yeah. I have my lion and my rum with me, always.
Sounds like a wild day with you.
I can already see the intervention at the family table.
Do you also give some of the rum to the lion, or is the rum just for you?
Of course I also give it to the lion. He's my
I'm
buddy.
Not sure if that makes it better or worse.
Oh, okay. Right now, I'm most fascinated by...
I think for me right now, because my university seminars are about film, I'm really fascinated about the fact how much detail goes into films, because I never thought about it. When I was younger, I always watched a film for the plot. And I'm still doing this because otherwise I would be bored. But just talking in my seminars about these films and how much little detail is in there, it's actually so insane when you think about it, because everything is thought through. So yeah, I think this is really fascinating when you start noticing things and also like references from other films that are picked up. Yeah.
I think for me, it is, I'm afraid of not using the correct term right now, but I'm just going to try. Because I'm most fascinated by cognitive models, like approximations of our cognitive processes through functions or computational models, programs. Like just the idea that we can approximate what is happening in our brain with equations or neural networks or something like that. We can put something that is encoded so biologically and like write it down or formulate it in a way that we can understand it as humans. It's really, really fascinating. But I'm also like, I feel like I'm really at the beginning of figuring this out, and I'm afraid of using the wrong terminology.
I know it's time to call it a day when.
Since most of our study program is happening in English, I know it's time to call it a day when I have problems building correct English sentences. Or, like, don't even know how I would express it in German at the time. But, yeah, first my English starts to fail. And I think it's also starting to fail right now.
I tend to say in that moment, my English is getting tired.
Yeah.
That's cute. Yeah. I think for me, it's the same. Like when I just stop building coherent sentences, or also when I'm like in a group setting, and I'm already more of a quiet person normally in group settings, but when I just kind of start to space out, where I'm, because normally I engage then with a nodding or smiling at the person who's talking, but when I'm just not, when I can't process anything anymore and I'm just staring into a void, then I know, like, okay, it's time to go to bed.
Yeah. So thank you so much for your answers. And with that, I think I would go give the moderation back to Clara and Imogen for tonight. It's literally night by now. We started this whole process nearly 3 hours ago. And it took us an hour to just set up the technical stuff. And this whole interview has been a ride. But we hope you're going to enjoy it. So, okay, Imogen and Clara.
So, yeah, this was our Christmas special. And we really hope that you guys enjoyed it and you enjoyed getting to know us a little better. Sadly, Zünke couldn't join, but... But yeah, thank you guys for listening. And we hope that you guys have a nice Christmas or a nice holiday if you're not celebrating.
Or if you don't celebrate Christmas. And if you don't have holiday, just
if you have a
enjoy
nice few
weird
days.
Western people. Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoy Christmas if you're celebrating all the time. If you're that you hopefully have holidays and... enjoy New Year's, and in January we will be back with the next topic block on focus and attention.
So thank you for listening, and well, you will hear at least me and Sophie next year again, and bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
You've listened to Collider Science, Conversations on Cognitive Science, hosted by Elisa Palmer, Sönke Löw, and Sophie Kühne. Produced by Clara Kühne, Imogen Hüsing, Elisa Palmer, Leslie Volk, Sönke Löw, and Sophie Kühne. Produced in collaboration with the Cognitive Science Student Journal. The music was produced by Jan-Lukas Schröder. The logo was designed by Annika Richter. Thank you for listening and joining us on our journey through conversations on cognitive science. This podcast is not sponsored and does not give us any financial profit. If you wish to support us, the most effective way is to do so by leaving us an up to 5-star review on your chosen podcast platform and following us on Instagram. You can reach out to us via mail, comment on YouTube, or message us on Instagram. We are always happy to hear your feedback. Thank you again for listening to us and for your interest in science. If you have any questions regarding this episode or any of our other episodes, feel free to reach out. You can reach out to us via Instagram by sending us a direct message at kaleidoscience_pod or write us an email at kaleidopod@us.de. You can find both links to our Instagram and also the email address in our show notes. We do read all your comments and will also reply to you as soon as we can.